This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen, Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina wa Mawlana Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise and thanks are due solely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Choices, peace, blessings and salutations upon our master and exemplar Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us on this day and forgive our sins and make us from among those who attain the full blessings of Yawmul Jumu'ah. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. Respected elders, brothers, sisters in Islam and viewers, the discussion around goal setting has led us to a framework of the Maqasidu Sharia as a platform through which we can structure our goals. And among these five, we focused already on Hifduddin, the preservation of our religion and having religious goals or spiritual goals. And then, of course, there's nafs, nasab, aql, and mal, or translated spiritual goals, health goals, family goals, intellect goals, and financial goals. Having looked at spiritual goals, I decided today to immediately go on to family goals. Now, the concept of family can be looked at in various ways. Oh, that's on. Because we can look at the importance of family as a whole. Silatul Rahim, Silatul Arham, the joining of family ties. But there are various dimensions within the discussion on family, different aspects that can be focused on even further. For example, the concept of parenthood in Islam. And then beyond that, there's siblings and sibling rivalry, for example. There's the husband and wife factor. And we've had talks about these before. So to begin, today we're going to look specifically at our youth, our children, as a family unit. How do we structure our goals around our children as well? This is a very important dimension of the family because of the challenges that our children face in the world they are growing up in today. And here, when we speak about children, we are not speaking about any specific age category. So we're not speaking about, for example, teenagers or toddlers or babies, but youth in general. And we are looking at it from the perspective of how we as parents need to structure goals for our families, specifically our children. Now, the default status quo is a good one. In other words, if we just did nothing and we just allowed nature to take its course without outside interference, which is practically impossible, but theoretically speaking, Allah starts us off in this world on a very good footing. Kullu mawludin yuladu ala al-fitra. Every child is born with a natural disposition toward goodness, toward innocence. We speak about this, we say the innocence of the child. However, this natural state, this pure state that children are born in, quickly becomes influenced. And the way the Prophet ﷺ expressed this was that فَأَبَوَاهُ يُهَوِّدَانِهِ أَوْ يُنَصِّرَانِهِ أَوْ يُمَجِّسَانِهِ. This is a hadith we quote quite frequently. The parents then come and then change this child into a Yahudi or a Nasara, a Nasrani or Majusi. But this is, of course, something that needs to be taken in light of 7th century Arabia. The primary influence over one's child in 7th century Arabia would have been the parents. Excuse me, I just need to... If one's atmosphere or environment is such that there are hardly any outside influences, you as the father, you as the mother, you are the child's school, you are the playground, you are the culture, then this hadith would fit 100% even into our own lives. That said, the situation is different today. How much contact time do parents actually have with their kids throughout their childhood, from birth until they eventually become mukallaf? Because for us as Muslims, the age of taklif, when the child becomes mukallaf, for all intents and purposes, that child is now an adult. We don't have a teenager concept in Islam. We have something called tamyiz, age of distinction, but that's basically from about 7 years of age onwards, where a child can now distinguish independently between right and wrong, good and bad, to a certain extent. We don't have the teenage phase where, look, you can do what you want to do, there's no consequences for your actions. It's a trial and error situation. You're old enough to do adult-like things, but not to face the consequences thereof. We don't have that. The moment we become mukallaf, as Muslims, we believe that we are fully responsible by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our own actions. And this is very important for Muslims to understand, because when we deal with our children, we shouldn't look at them as children if they are mukallaf. Right? We shouldn't treat them as children if they are mukallaf. Yes, they might not be mature enough to be fully functional adults, but we cannot give them the same leeway saying that they're just kids, you know, they're just teens. This doesn't apply. Because now the outside influences happen to be so many. It's not just radio, it's not just TV. We understand that in the last 30 or so years, the access to information has exponentially increased, right? If we wanted to, myself now speaking, if I wanted to find information, growing up, I needed to go to the library, needed to visit an encyclopedia. Don't think anybody needs to do that any longer, really. This also means that it comes with access to good as well as access to bad. So the outside influences have become many. And as parents, while we don't have as much influence personally, we have autonomy as far as the decisions we make as to who and what those outside influences will be for our kids. We decide which schools they will attend. We decide what rules will be set in their upbringing. We decide how much screen time they are allowed to have. We decide the culture of deen in our homes. We decide how important salah is in their lives. We decide how important Islamic education is in their lives. And we decide how important Allah is to them. And we have to accept that it is our responsibility. And the age-old excuse of, you know how it is, and you know kids today, and no. We cannot look at what the majority of people are doing. Right? وَإِن تُطِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يُضِلُّكَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ إِن يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنَّ وَإِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَخْرُسُونَ. Allah says, if you keep on following the majority, and here we're speaking, of course, of the non-Muslim, people who don't live by our ethics and models and standards and laws, if you follow the majority all the time, they are going to send you astray from the path of Allah. They are not following except their own whims and fancies. They do whatever they please. وَإِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَخْرُسُونَ. And they are not except but lying. Now the challenges are many. And I don't want to only focus on the negative, but it's very important that we understand the challenges. As a community leader and so forth, I have been shocked in the last couple of years at some of the phone calls and visitations that I received about our youth. A parent will phone me up and say, my child, 16 years of age, has left the fold of Islam. Just the other day, my daughter, 19 years of age, says that she's a lesbian. This is the world we're living in today. a boy will come home and tell his parents that he made his girlfriend pregnant, and the parents will say, Alhamdulillah, he's not gay. That's the reality. So I'm not going to be speaking about the homosexual, transgender, all of these things. I think we have enough of that happening, although in an Islamic paradigm, we need to address it more frequently. My point here is more general, and that is that we need to be awake and we need to be educated and informed and prepared for these challenges, because they are our children and they are within our responsibility. So subhanallah, the positive side of things is that we're also living in a world where many young men and women have dedicated their lives to Islam. And sometimes without the influence of the parents. Often a child would come and decide that he or she would wants to be a practicing, believing servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Parents sometimes even become shocked at this. My child says he wants to get married. My daughter says she wants to get married. She doesn't even have a boyfriend. Parents are shocked because they expect the whole boyfriend-girlfriend scenario, and here the kids are coming and they say, no, we don't want that. We want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the positive side of the spectrum. We have young men and women coming and saying, I want to study hifz of the Quran. I want to study the religion of Islam. I want to be a more practicing Muslim. We have that also. So the good, alhamdulillah, seems to be getting better. And on the other side of the spectrum, the bad seems to be getting worse. Where do your children fit in? Where do your children fit in? Because the trends don't matter. Your trends matter, right? What's happening in your home matters. And you know who decides that? We decide that. It's not a matter of, oh, you know, my child doesn't want to make salah. No. It's a matter of, because of the decisions I made, my child is not firm on his salah or on her salah. Oh, you know, my child keeps on hanging out to the boys, hanging out to the girls, partying and so on. I don't know what to do anymore. No, first take responsibility. That decisions that you made about which school your child is going to, about the friends that you allow your child to have, and about the leeway that you give your child in this world, in this challenging world with all the trials and tribulations, first take responsibility that it is your decisions that has led to this. And then we can talk further. But don't just, you know, what's happening in the world and you know how things are today. No, that is a pessimist approach. And we are Muslims, kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'oolun an ra'iyyati. All of you are shepherds and you will be responsible by Allah for your flocks. You will be responsible by Allah for your flocks. Parents have many options today. Options that my parents, that your parents perhaps didn't have. I couldn't go to I couldn't afford it though, right? Model C schools and predominantly, you know, European cultured schools, if I can call it that. So, mashallah, you know, they give a really good education. I'm sending my child there. Really? Are you ready for that? Are you ready to give your child enough deen in your home and supplement the secular education with enough deen to prevent and to inoculate them from all the challenges that you are making them face in that school that you're sending them to? Are you? Did you really think about this? Did you really think about what it meant when you took your child from madrasa saying that, you know what, they're busy with soccer practice, music practice, piano practice, guitar practice, hockey practice, all the practice, but, you know, madrasa is a bit difficult now, my child, I have to consider their health and their well-being, you know, and they have to wake up very early to go to school, and they come home very late. I can't wake them up at 4 o'clock in the morning for Fajr Salah. You know, shame. So the situation is such that once a parent realizes that, hey, I must take responsibility for my child, not just for what I give them in this world, but for where I send them in the next. Not just for what I give them in this world, but for where I send them in the next world. And yes, of course, I know what it's like. I know the feeling of being in the shop and seeing, this is a very small example, seeing a nice toy or a nice a luxury item and you really want to give it to your child because, you know, it's the coolness of your eyes and she's there at home and you want to win their heart over. But I need to ask myself first, What am I doing? What's the consequences of this action? When I buy my child that smartphone, when I give them Wi-Fi access, you know, free reign Wi-Fi access at home, when I place a TV or a monitor or a computer in their room, I need to think about what I'm actually doing and what the potential consequences of these actions are. It's not just kids will be kids. Maybe we could do that in 1950. We can't do that today. It's a different world. So we're speaking about goals. What are sound goals for us to have for our family? Allah says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين يقولون ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين وجعلنا للمتقين إماما. It's a dua, we know this dua, we've heard it, we've said ameen to it many, many times. Oh, our Lord, they say, this is Surah Al-Furqan, verse number 74, they say, oh, our Lord, please grant us from our spouses and from our offspring the coolness of our eyes and make us the leaders of the righteous. Ameen, ameen, ameen. What does this mean? When Allah teaches us a dua in the Quran, just think about what's actually happening. This is Allah telling us what to ask Allah. Allah is telling us what to ask Him for. See, if Allah is telling us what to ask Him for, then that means that Allah wants us to aspire to this. To whatever dua, any dua in the Quran, it is, you know, a sort of expression of Allah saying, look, I want you to aspire to this in your life. So what are we aspiring to here? Grant us the coolness of our eyes in our spouses. So there we've got a goal for our marriage. What's the goal in marriage according to this dua? It is to make my wife the coolness of my eyes. To make my husband, in the case of the ladies, the coolness of my eyes. That expression needs to be unpacked, but what it means is I find comfort, I find tranquility, I find peace, I find a home within my spouse. This is a big thing. It might sound so simple, but we turn everywhere. We turn to the TV, we turn to fishing, we turn to golfing, we turn to sport, we turn to our friends. Sometimes we turn to substance abuse. Sometimes we turn to our secretary, na'udhu billah. To find the coolness of our eyes. Allah says, the coolness of your eyes is in your spouse. I gave you a halal wife. If there's no spark of love, light the fire. Rekindle that flame. But that's not our point of discussion here. Our point of discussion is the next part. وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا Also make the coolness of our eyes in our children. When we look at our children, when we interact with our children, we need to find love, peace, harmony, tranquility. We need to find the bliss of life. You need to be looking forward to seeing them, to holding them, to embracing them, to speaking to them, because Allah says you need to find your coolness of your eyes there. Then the next part, وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا Allahu Akbar. And make us, who's saying the dua? The parents. The parents are saying this dua. Oh Allah, make us the imams. Make us the imams, the leaders of who? Of the muttaqeen. Who's the muttaqeen referring to? Our children. This is teaching us in such a beautiful, succinct way that believers, make your children of the muttaqeen, of the Allah conscious. Give them taqwa. You gave them a PlayStation, how much taqwa did you give them? You gave them an Xbox, how much taqwa did you give them? You gave them the best secular education, how much taqwa did you give them? You gave them Guess, you gave them Diesel, you gave them G-Star, you gave them Gucci, you gave them Louis Vuitton, how much Allah did you give them? How much Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did you give them? You gave them Justin Bieber, you gave them Lady Gaga, how much of the Sahaba did you give them? Because, really, which one is going to turn them into the muttaqeen? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا And make us the imams, the leaders of the righteous. So we need to be positioned in such a way, yes, they are the muttaqeen, but we are their leaders. Do you understand what that means? That means we have to lead by example. The whole idea of my child must be super pious, and I'm not even making salah on time, it's a crazy idea. The idea of a father or mother smoking and saying to the child, don't smoke, it's crazy. The idea of a father or mother saying to the child, have good akhlaq, excuse me, have good akhlaq, you know, eat healthily, etc., etc., and then you do the opposite. Our children are not stupid. Think back to when we were kids and we were looking around, seeing people's words contradict their actions, told us everything. It told us everything. And when we, as Muslims, don't live up to the iman that we profess, and our kids witness that, then they tell themselves, without even saying it, but then this is just a joke. We're just going to Jumu'ah for a joke. We're just going to the masjid on big nights. It's just a joke. Because then the next day, we just go back to normal again. It's just a formality that we need to get out of the way. And then we find, so how much importance do I really need to attach to this formality, to this culture? Okay, I'll keep the name. I'll keep the name, Muhammad Naldeem. But what does it really mean? I don't even know how to say the adhan or the iqama properly. I don't even know how to make istinja or take wudu. So what does it didn't really mean that much to my parents, so I don't really care. Now, it may still be okay in our circumstance because our kids are perhaps still praying when we nag them and we, you know, threaten them, then they still pray. They still make salah. But here's the real question. The culture of deen that we are giving to our kids, is it enough to ensure that their kids will still be Muslim? I repeat, the culture of deen in our homes that you and I are giving to our children, is it of such a standard, of such a caliber, that we can feel somewhat secure and, you know, somewhat comfortable that their children will probably also be Muslim? When we arrive in the day of Qiyamah, Allah make us successful on that day. And inshallah, we're destined to go to Jannah. And now we're going to meet all of our progeny. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَبَعَتْهُمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ بِإِيمَانٍ أَلْحَقْنَا بِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ. Those who believe and their progeny follows them up in faith, we, Allah, will reunite them with their progeny in the after. Is it going to be that we look for our grandkids and our great-grandkids and they're standing in a different queue? Allah forbid, Allah protect us. But I can see this. I'm not that old. I think I'm still pretty young. But in the short lifetime, what I've seen is that the level of deen that my generation's parents gave us may have been enough for the time, for some of us, not for others, but it's not enough for today. Wallahi al-azim, it's not enough for today. If we don't step up, they're going to step out. It's as simple as that. It's really as simple as that. And I'm not trying to say this to you know, make you feel scared or whatever the case may be. It's a wake-up call for myself also. It's a different world. It's really a different world. If we can see that our grandparents were stricter than our parents, we are less strict than our parents, what's going to happen to our kids with their kids? Where are we going? What's going to happen to our identity? So if we don't make the change now, if we don't change the ways things are, the culture of deen, the level of observation of Allah's laws within our home, the strength of iman within their hearts, if we don't make that change now and take the bull by the horn, so to speak, the bull is going to run away with us. I see some parents bringing their children to a janazah salah, for example, because you must have to go to a janazah salah if it's a family member. And then there's like a 15-year-old boy or a 17-year-old boy standing next to his father, not having a clue of what to do. He's looking around. He didn't embrace Islam yesterday. That's absolutely fine, by the way, for people who just embraced Islam. They're learning. But if you're sitting with a 17-year-old son who can play soccer, who knows how to play guitar, is a Western Province cricket player, whatever the case may be, but he can't pray to Allah, leave his situation in the afterlife. The scary thing that I always ask is, will that child of yours be able to make dua for you when you pass away from this world? Will they know what to do at your janazah? What will they do with your inheritance? Are they going to be clued up with that? Or are they going to be the cause of you being punished in the grave? Na'udhu billah. Now that's a statement that needs to be understood, right? Nobody else can be the cause of you being punished in the grave. But if you are directly responsible for their actions, then unfortunately, it's your own actions. Allah grant us protection and guidance. Ameen. Subhanallah, Allah gives us another goal in the Quran. Allah says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ku anfusakum wa ahlikum nara wa quduha an-nasu wal hijara. عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. سورة التحريم verse number 6. O believers, save yourselves and your family from Jahannam. The fuel of the Jahannam is going to be people and it's going to be stone. And the Mufassirun explain this refers to the idols. For me, that's actually very scary because imagine we make our bra'i in stone because it's not going to catch fire. Imagine a fire that is fueled by stone. Ya salam. But this verse is directly telling us, your job, my job and your job is to save ourselves and our families from the fires of Jahannam. Notice how Allah puts you first, because you can't save somebody else if you yourself are not being saved, right? So your first concern is, how is your relationship with Allah? But then it's your kids. I would love for somebody to give me an understanding that there's a parent who would allow for their child to just walk into the middle of a highway and allow themselves to be knocked over in a car accident while this parent is watching and just lets it happen and says, you know, it's their own choice. You know how kids are today. It's just the trends, man. They do these adrenaline rush things. And what can I really do about it? You know, my hands are tied. They challenge me. I don't want to also, you know, put pressure on them. And, you know, they might just turn their back on me and leave me and so on. So I let them do what they want. No parent would do that. Yeah, Rob, imagine. You send your child into a gang-infested territory where they're busy shooting. No parent, you will tell them, you go there. I will personally kill you. Why? Because we understand there's serious danger involved. But you don't have to wake up for Fajr. And you can have a boyfriend or girlfriend. And it's, you know, I'm not going to ask you about zina and stuff. If you have your girlfriend up in your bedroom, it's, you know. What's the difference? The difference is the one danger we can see with our own eyes, the highway, the gangsters, the shooting, and we understand that they're going to lose their lives. The other danger is not immediate. It is by Allah. It is Jahannam's fire. Maybe we don't believe in it that much. Maybe we don't think it's that serious. Or maybe we're just living in ignorance. Allah knows best. But allowing certain things, thinking that we're being liberal and we're being cool parents and we just, you know, we have a different approach to upbringing, that is just simply insanity. It's simple insanity. If we understand that our responsibility is to keep our children safe, keeping them safe doesn't mean giving them all the luxuries that this world has to offer. It doesn't mean making sure that they have the nice house and the nice car and the nice life here in this world. It means that they will eternally be saved in the hereafter. Wallahi al-azim. Wallahi al-azim. I would rather see my daughter in danger in this world or impoverished in this world or homeless in this world than to see her go to Jahannam in the world hereafter. Because this world is just a few short years. Am I really willing to sacrifice an eternity of salvation in the hereafter just so that she can, you know, be cool and hang out with the other girls in the nightclubs because, you know, that's what teenagers do? Na'udhu billah. Allah grant us the understanding. So these goals are not goals that I've even taken the time out to structure. Okay, so what can we do about this? We are intelligent, thinking, rational human beings. Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't give us detailed guidance. Sometimes he just gives us, well, he does give us detailed guidance, but sometimes in the Quran, he just gives us guidance in summary form. This is the objective, right? The fiqh, the aqidah, etc., that's where you get the details. But this is the goal. You do what you need to do of halal means to get to that goal. Because if you don't get to that goal, you're going to be in serious trouble. That's where this comes in, this discussion here. If these are our primary duties by Allah with regards to our families, then I ask the question today, how many of us have actually thought about our life's goals, rules and regulations, our home, and what we allow and disallow for our home, for our family, for our children, for ourselves, in light of these goals that Allah had set for us? And if our answer is nothing or not at all, May Allah protect us. Theoretical, you know, yes, I want them to do, and I want. Want is going to get you nowhere. It's going to get you nothing. We need a solid plan. We need to lay down ground rules. For example, simple stuff. The ground rule number one is that every person of my household will make salah every single day of their lives on time, no matter where we are, no matter what we are doing. Isn't that a basic fundamental ground rule? Right? You can get more detailed. This khutbah is not about specifically telling you which rules to set. But you could, for example, say, you know what? No Wi-Fi in the home, only wired internet access, and the internet access will go to this massive 8K screen that you can, you know, multimedia entertainment system. You can go boss there on that system where I can see you. But furthermore, no. You know, that you can get as detailed as that if you so wish. But the point here is to first realize that we can't just wing it. We can't just go through life seeing like how it's going to go, what, where we're going to end up, how they're going to end up. We'll see how they look when they graduate, if they graduate. No, we don't treat life like that. Parents know when the child is born, people ask me, what school your daughter's going to go? Huh? How should I know? That's because the trend is that we know what school, what primary school, what high school, what university they're going to go to, what they're going to do, what their savings policy is like, etc. when they are still toddlers. Because we must thinking ahead. But we only think ahead for a couple of years. Beyond that, we don't think at all. This needs to change. So if the message today is clear, good. If not, it is this. We need to have goals for our families. And our goals can't just be about the dunya. Our goals can't just be limited. Our goals need to be holistic. And just like we have an holistic approach for our own lives, where we follow deen, health, wealth, family, etc., intellect for ourselves, we as parents need to structure the goals of our family in the same way. We need to set rules for how they live their lives as far as health is concerned. Can they eat any junk, or is there at least some regulations as to what they are allowed to eat and what they are not allowed to eat? Not talking about halal, I'm talking about health-wise. Do we set some regulations as far as how much exercise they need to get in a week? Is that part of, because if we don't, then we're basically saying, I don't care about your health, you know, as long as you're happy and you're smiling, I really don't care what diseases you develop or what you eat or how you. We can't do that. So we need to have holistic goals. Our children's intellect, is it a rule that they must read or that we read to them, etc.? Is it a rule that they must learn and you sit with them and you help them with their learning, or you get the help that they need for their learning? Not just deen goals. Do we train our kids about how to be money-wise, how to deal with their finances? That pocket money is not just a luxury. Pocket money can be used in a very wise way, where they earn it, number one, they receive it, and they are trained as to how to spend it. Make them part of the family budget so that they can understand income and expenses, they can understand how the world works and what the cost of living really is. Give them the shock of their mind before they have to be shocked themselves, right? Nobody trained us how to do that. We need to make a very big change as far as our family structure is concerned if we want to see our kids, our grandkids, and our great-grandkids, and our great-great-great-grandkids on the day of Qiyamah still under the banner of the Ummah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. May Allah grant that to us. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. We coming out of a very tough time. COVID was a challenging time on many fronts. It remains a challenging time. But one of the biggest challenges was what happened to our interpersonal relationships with our household, with our extended families, and even with our community. The Masjid Committee and I, we have been, racking our brains? We've been thinking a lot about what we can do to get our jama'ah back into the masjid. But I think that it's unfair for this only to be my thoughts and the thoughts of the committee and our honorable imam. This is all of our concern, isn't it? There's no clergy in Islam. So we want to involve all of you and your families, because we see the importance of family values. And we had this going before COVID, And then قدر الله وما شاء فعل. Now we need to revive it, and I need your assistance. Never have I said on this platform that I need your assistance for something very specific. Today I'm saying that. This Wednesday, until Ramadan, every Wednesday, we are going to be having a family course here in the Masjid. And it's going to be an absolute failure unless we have your support. And your support is not in the form of money. It's absolutely free of charge. Your support is in the form of you coming here with your family and bringing your family to the house of Allah. And that way, taking them to Allah. So every Wednesday, from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock, it's 1 hour. We're going to be doing a course. I've called it the Fiqh of Dhikr. The Fiqh of Dhikr, which essentially means the understanding of remembrance of Allah. In every class, the whole jama'ah present, men, women, children, of course, we'll have all regulations in order, will be dedicating some time to the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, learning about what it means, its virtues, the prophetic methodology as to how to make dhikr, and then the spiritual values that's supposed to culminate from that. In what form and for what objective? Towards the preparation of Ramadan. The Ramadan coming up is a very, very important Ramadan. It's a Ramadan where we're going to make it or break it for ourselves, for our community, for our families, because it's our chance to revive that spirit that was dwindling because of the situation through the pandemic. It's your duty now to be part of this revival. It takes nothing more than you making a commitment today that inshallah, I'm going to bring my entire family and I'm going to invite other families as well. It's just 1 hour. Yes, we're going to broadcast it on our Masjid Facebook page, but that's not what we want you to participate in. That's not the idea. The idea is come to the house of Allah and breathe life into your family by breathing life into the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. مجتمع قوم في بيت من بيوت الله يتلون كتاب الله ويتدارسونه فيما بينهم إلا أن حفتهم الملائكة وغشيتهم الرحمة ونزلت عليهم السكينة وذكرهم الله في من عنده. When people gather in houses of Allah like this, angels surround them, tranquility descends upon them, and rahmah envelops them. This is what we want to bring back into this masjid and into our communities. I really appeal to you today, no matter where you live, some of our musallis, mashallah, I believe live in Komechi. Others come from even, you know, other distant places. People are telling me every week, I come from here, I come from there. Mashallah. So come twice a week now. Come on the Wednesday evening, inshallah. If you can't come for the full hour, come for a half an hour. And if you're not coming for you because you think, ach, ik ken Allah goed is, then come for your family because they don't. If you're not coming for the information, fine. Come for the spirit. Come for the environment. Come for that atmosphere in which the heart thrives. And don't come alone. Come with others. Come with your wives. Come with your mothers. Come with your sisters. Come with your daughters. Come with your sons. Come with your brothers. Come as a family. And inshallah, I look forward to having an amazing time in this process so that my heart too can be revived for the month of Ramadan. We all need it. And if you didn't know, Ramadan is 60 days away, possibly less. 60 days, 2 months. Allah grant us all the success. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. مسجد الراشدين in Mowbray has some refreshing news that we wish to share with each and every one of you. Our upcoming series of classes presents a beautiful opportunity, a long-awaited opportunity for the entire family to engage in dhikrullah, realign our hearts, minds and souls to prepare for a spiritually rejuvenating Ramadan. Imagine what Ramadan would be like if your heart was completely prepared for it, bearing in mind, of course, that Ramadan is only 2 months away. In our free Wednesday night family course, The Fiqh of Dhikr, you and your family, this includes women and children, can come to the house of Allah, engage in the remembrance of Allah, learn about the meanings, prophetic methodology and virtues of dhikr, and cover the classical text by Imam al-Mawlud, Matharat al-Qulub, and the translation by Sheikh Hamza Yusuf. We welcome you all to join us for this Ramadan awakening, spiritually uplifting and richly informative series, inshallah. We look forward to seeing you live and in person. So yes, we do want you to come to the masjid for this magnificent gathering, but we will broadcast the program for our followers abroad as well. So join us on Wednesday evenings from 7 to 8 p.m. starting this Wednesday, the 2nd of February 2022. All health and safety protocols will be observed. There's no charge, there's no registration. All welcome. Ahlan wa sahlan bikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.